May 4th, 2017 meeting of the Natural Resources Subcommittee for the Joint Ways and Means Committee. Good afternoon to everyone. This afternoon we're going to have a work session. We're going to try and do both the Department of State Lands and the Marine Board. I feel confident that we will do that. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 5537, State Lands.
Matt. Thank you, Chair Witt, members of the subcommittee. Today, I hope you'll forgive me. We're going to go through this a little bit slowly. And the reason is because this is our first budget bill, and I want to make sure that everyone is familiar with the paperwork that you're presented, so that if there's any questions, we can get those, we can get them looked at. I don't want to have any lingering questions about what's being presented so that it's clear. There are three things that are going to happen during this process. The first one is I'm going to go through the LFO recommendation. And then we're going to look for a motion to move the LFO recommendation, and then the recommended changes to the current service level. And then we're going to look at the key performance measures that are proposed for the agency for the 17-19 biennium, and then we'll look for a motion to adopt those key performance measures. And then finally, a motion to adopt the amendment, which reflects the LFO recommendations to the bill, and to move that bill to the full committee with a due pass recommendation, if so deemed by the subcommittee. So to begin, where we start out with an agency, you'll see on OLIS you have the LFO recommendation. And the LFO recommendation starts out with a document that looks a little lot like this, so everyone can see it. And it has a table at the top of it for the Department of State Lands. And what this does is it has multiple columns across it, the actual expenditures for the Department of State Lands in 2013 to 15, what the legislatively approved budget for the department is in the current biennium, the 2017 through 19 current service level, and then the 2017 through 19 LFO recommended budget. So as you move across these, you can see that they're broken out by row, by fund type. So you can see all the fund types. They're summed as total funds for each one of these categories. And then you also have the positions in FTE, so you can see what happens to the position in FTE over time. So the current service level budget for the Department of State Lands decreases actually 28% from the legislatively approved budget due to reduction in a number of contracts, force management contracts, so forth, elimination of one-time funding for costs associated with rangeland fires, elimination of expenditures due for the Portland Harbor Superfund site, elimination of one-time expenditures that were approved for Senate Bill 912 implementation costs, also expenditures that were approved for the Elliott Forest alternative planning, some capital improvement projects, and federal grants. So you see a sharp reduction in the current service level budget from the legislatively approved budget. Now, from that current service level, there's a number of adjustments that are being recommended by the LFO. And we're going to go through these. This is where the document gets into this page. It looks like this, the work session report. And the first page of this work session report is a summary of the agency of the agency as recommended by LFO. And you can see up in the upper right-hand corner is an agency number. It's 14100. That's the Department of State Lands. And then there's a cross-reference number that you'll see under that, and it has a number of dashes behind the 14100 number. And all of those zeros behind there show that this is the top summary document for the agency. So as we go through these pages, what you'll see is a number of documents that look exactly like this one, but those are all individual budgetary subdivisions that sum up to the totals that are on this first page. So the first, across the top, you can see that there's all the fund types.
Do you have any material? Because I can't get on OLIS.
I'm not.
Can't get on. It says page cannot be displayed.
If you go back and start over, it'll let
I've done
you.
It four times.
Oh, sorry. Oh. Did that to me too. And
I don't know.
Let me back on.
Maybe we could do it on an overhead ear or something.
Did you get kicked off the internet? Did you get kicked off the internet, maybe?
Oh. I don't know why I would. I just walked down here. I was on the internet.
If you don't mind standing in these, I could print a copy for
Yeah, they can't.
So, look, check the little button on the left side of your computer.
We can't do OLS on this thing?
Over here, right on the side.
I don't, I have no way.
Is that pointing, is that towards you or is it away from you?
Towards me.
Okay, then it should be all right.
Turn that one off.
You have to restart it.
If you could print it out for me or...
I'll restart it, see what I can do.
Can you set up a job for me?
Yeah.
It sounds like Julie's going to print out a copy for you, too.
Thank you.
I have a question, since the Elliott is in transition and we're going to look like we're going to end up with it again, why are we passing this budget out if we're going to have to go back with the Elliott?
Chair Witt, Senator Gerard, I think that's a great question, but if you don't mind, there's going to be a discussion period as we go through each one of these recommendations.
Okay.
And so maybe we could deal with each one of those questions, all of those questions at the same time, if you don't mind. So just to move along with my explanation of the display, you've got the fund types along the top, and then as you move down these rows, you can see these are different iterations of the budget. And we start out with the legislatively adopted budget for 2015-17, which is the current biennium. There's a row for emergency boards and administration actions that happened during the biennium. There's ways and means actions that happened during the biennium, and that brings us to the legislatively approved budget by fund type. And then right below the legislatively approved budget, there's a legislatively approved budget base, which is the base budget. This is a really weedy calculation, but this is a snapshot of the budget that was taken at the budget formation time well over a year ago, so it's not going to include all of the same adjustments that are in the legislatively approved budget. And it's also going to have some adjustments taken out of it for personnel actions, but they're all totally behind the scenes. The summary of base adjustments are base adjustments that are made to get that legislatively approved base to the starting place for the budget development. And then once that base budget development starting place starts, then there's the non-PICS or non-position information control system, personal services and vacancy factors that are calculated, the phase in and phase out programs and one-time costs line, and you can see a number of those are the phase outs that I talked about just a minute ago when I was talking about the development of the current service level budget. There's the inflation and price list adjustments line, and it brings us to current service level. So the work of this subcommittee is to make adjustments from the current service level. So the LFO recommended packages line then shows by fund type the packages that are being recommended by the LFO, and we're going to go through each one of these by program area and describe to you each one of the adjustments. And then the 2017-19 legislative actions are assuming that the LFO recommended packages are adopted. And then the next section provides you with a number of metrics that show you the changes both from the legislatively approved budget and from the current service level for both all fund types, total funds, positions, and FTE for the agency. Okay, so moving on to page 2 of 16, this is the Common School Fund summary cross-reference. And summary cross-reference, I think we went over this in the Budget 101, but I know that was several months ago. Each agency's budget is broken into subdivisions, and those subdivisions are called either summary cross-references or detailed cross-references. Detailed cross-references roll up to a summary cross-reference. The summary cross-references roll up to the agency. So the summary cross-references may or may not comport to agency programs. They just may contain budgetary groupings for the purpose of the budget, and it may not match exactly with what the agency is doing programmatically. But in this case, these are all the Common School Fund programs. So these are programs that are funded out of the Common School Fund. And this is aggregated total. And again, this display is just like we saw for the entire agency, but only for this group of programs that are in the SCR, the summary cross-reference for the Common School Fund. So the changes in the LFO recommendation follow. And this is page 3 of 16. The first one is package 101, and this is for the Portland Harbor cleanup. These These are ongoing funding for dealing with the Portland Harbor Superfund site, and I'll read you the package description. This is this package continues increased expenditure limitation for legal expenses related to the Portland Harbor Superfund site. It's the third consecutive biennium that additional expenditure authority has been established for the agency for the purpose. The package provides one-time only funding for one limited duration natural resources specialist for position, $3.6 million for professional services, $2.5 million for attorney general expenses. The ongoing cost allocation process for the Portland Harbor requires legal expertise to reduce potential costs in the future. Related budget packages were approved in 11-13, 13-15, and the 15-17 biennia. The cost allocation process and legal questions are expected to continue well through the 17-19 biennium. And the position classification that's being recommended here is the same as this 15-17 position. The total funding is $6,326,537 in other funds, one limitation position, one FTE.
Matt, can you just tell me what page that was?
That was page 3 of 16.
Three.
Should show at the bottom.
Follow up?
Please.
Chair Witt, so are you wanting, for this process, are you wanting us, you're just going to be, you're hoping we'll just be having the one vote, we're not voting on the individual? And in the situations in which we may have some concerns about the individual ones, we do what?
Chair Witt, Senator Taylor, we're looking at this recommendation as a package.
Yeah.
And if you have a concern that will prevent you from recommending, from voting to recommend this package or this as entirely, that's entirely up to you. This recommendation has been vetted by the legislative leadership and the co-chairs of the full committee, and has been approved for the work session.
Follow up. Thank you, Chair Witt. So I'm not necessarily talking about this agency's budget. I'm just talking as we go through all the natural agency budgets. Some of the sections, you know, there may be some objections as we go through the 14 different budgets. So I was just curious what the process was.
Well, frankly, if I may,
please.
There's a concern. I think we should have get it early rather than during the middle of the committee.
Yeah.
We need to know that earlier ahead so that we can be talking with the co-chairs about that. And getting a sense of, you know, what sort of balance, what sort of approach that they may want to take, and what we can perhaps answer, and what kind of get their compromises that are necessary, how to put those together.
Okay, follow up, please.
Please.
Thank you, Chair Witt. So the so what will be the timing of the rollout? This is just more as we go forward. Will it be 48 hours notice when they'll be posted, or what will be the rollout for each of the agency packages to see the recommendations?
Chair Witt, Senator Taylor, from the agencies that I'm an analyst on, I'll try to post the information to OLIS as soon as we have clearance to run a particular bill, because I do want to get that to you as soon as possible.
Sure.
The agency does have all of their budget documents on OLIS and were presented during the budget hearing.
Yeah, of course.
I would encourage you to go through all of those policy action packages of those budgets as early as you possibly can, so that way when these documents are posted, you could see the difference between if anything you had issues with. So,
I'm so sorry, Chair Witt. I apologize. I just tried to setting this out so as we go forward, because we're going to be going through each of these.
Senator Taylor, you're doing fine.
Thank you, Chair Witt. Because there's this opportunity for there obviously to be a difference between what was presented and what's here. And I want to just understand, what are the rules for the posting for when the recommendations will be up? Is it 48 hours, 24 hours? What is, I understand you're going to get them up as soon as possible, but what are the rules?
As short as an hour.
But is it? As short as, and so the just wanting to be mindful of that we're in a serious budget situation, and I'm convinced that everybody here really cares about the natural resource agencies, and we're looking at some changes here, and wanting to, at least for myself, be able to understand in the end how it actually turned out to be, what the presentations were, and then what actually ended up being in the recommendations, so that we're cognizant and aware of the decisions that we're making. So, and then I also wanted to understand about if more revenue were to come, I'd be interested, it doesn't have to be today, to hear from the co-chairs if there's been any discussions about what would happen with any additional revenue and where that would go in the natural resource, for the natural resource agency. So we can talk about that more at another committee time. But
so. Senator Taylor, I want you to know that you're not the first person to have late-breaking questions. Yours truly did the last time, and I am sympathetic with questions that may arise late in the game, although I am also very sympathetic and supportive of Co-Chair Frederick's urging that we all try and get our questions out as early as possible.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And,
but we need the recommendations, obviously, to, yeah.
And so mm-hmm. I had a late-breaking question, and so I understand how that goes.
Okay.
Are there any other questions or concerns at this point from the subcommittee?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I sympathize with what Senator Tater is saying, because this process, it's new to me. I've never mm-hmm. been on Ways and Means. Now I understand why I don't want to be on Ways and Means. But anyway, to me. I feel uncomfortable with the aspect that, you know, unless I have it in front of me going through it, and it's very difficult for me to do that on a computer, that I guess I'm going to have to start downloading these and printing them out, because I just feel uncomfortable with the whole process, the way this whole thing works. Mm-hmm. I'm not at all pleased with the whole process as a whole on budgeting in this state. I don't think that we have an opportunity to really dig into a budget, and all we're doing is we're going over 50,000 feet and saying, okay, that's okay. Well, I don't think that's a proper thing to do, because we're here representing the taxpayer and their money. So I just don't think it's thorough enough. That's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Please.
Paul, thank you, Chair Witt. Well, I think I can see why one would have that experience, and so I was trying to understand about how the timing was going to work, but I hear that we're going to get the, I assume LFO will work to get the recommendations up as soon as possible. I don't know if it's possible to, and I admit that because we're all so busy, and it's hard to know when they've come in, and I'll just have to ask my staff to pay attention to that as they come in, so that I can take a moment to look at them. But any information that can be sent out as soon as possible, I think, would help everybody so that we can go over them. It's very disappointing to me that we don't have the revenue that we need in order to make some of the investments that we clearly need to make, I would argue, in some of our natural resource agencies.
So in response to a couple of comments, first, Senator Taylor, your questions about what if we were to get more revenue. Co-Chair Frederick and I, along with Mr. Stainer and the full committee co-chairs, I think would be sitting down to prioritize what, for lack of a better term, I would categorize as add backs, and that may be an entirely inappropriate term, but it's the best I can come up with here on the spot. So, would want to be guided by the subcommittee members as to their own priorities as well. So, and I think that as we go through this process, to be perfectly candid, Co-Chair Frederick and I started off with a list of things that we thought were so important that we felt that they should not be eliminated. In fact, could not be eliminated without perhaps doing serious damage to either programs or missions that are underway. So I think we would carry out a similar process in terms of add-backs or whatever we're going to call those. And I want you and the other subcommittee members to rest assured that both of your co-chairs, and I don't want to speak for Co-Chair Frederick, but I know his personal commitments. I know him that well that we want to hear from each of these of the members. So
okay.
In response to Representative Esquivel's comment about the 50,000-foot level, I also shared that concern and have submitted a number of questions to some of the agencies, which I would be happy to share with the subcommittee members because I had some questions. And I had the first agency come back to my office this morning and answer every single one of the questions that I had on that budget. And I can tell you that it really set me at ease quickly, but that's only one agency, and I have yet to hear. I will be hearing from the rest of them. So I understand your concern. I've been there myself, and so I truly do. I am new to this process, obviously, and. While I have sat on another subcommittee, I've not chaired a subcommittee before. And being perfectly candid, I also felt like perhaps we were locked out of part of the process that would be normally ours to make decisions upon. So don't feel if you have questions about the process that that you can't ask them, because already I've asked the questions here that I think both of your concerns have raised. So I know that both of the co-chairs here on this subcommittee are very open to your questions and your personal concerns, so feel free.
Okay.
All right. Mr. Stainer, where the heck am I at this point?
Page 4.
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee.
4 of 16.
We are on page 4 of 16 of the LFO analyst recommendation for the Department of State Lands, the Common School Fund Program.
Okay.
And the second package that's being recommended is package 102. This is historical filled lands. This is one-time expenditure limitation for the continuation work required under Senate Bill 912 from, I believe 912 was from 15. Getting a nod from the audience. The bill required DSL to research whether the state has remaining interest in historically filled lands and in tidally influenced waterways. The measure allows the Department of State Land to sell, lease, or trade historically filled lands owned by the state, and part of the identification of those state lands is to support those actions. The department is required to submit a report with its findings to the state land board, and the project status report is going to be made to the Environmental and Natural Resources Interim Committees of the legislature during legislative days in September. I have seen some preliminary reports on this, and it is quite robust work. This package includes two limited duration positions to begin the notifications to affected landowners and to perform actions necessary to begin the appropriate divestment of these lands. There are Natural Resources 4 and Administrative Specialist 1 position. And then the package also extends two limited duration positions that were established in the current biennium by 12 months into the next biennium to complete the mapping and site identification processes. So the total recommendation is for $574,321 of other funds. It's four positions, 2.83 FTE.
So that's other funds?
Other funds.
You see, it doesn't say up there.
It's right at, it's underneath of this column. I'm sorry, Chair Witt.
I understand that, but it's blank, so mine is.
The next package is Package 103, Trust Land Management. This package adds ongoing other funds expenditure limitation for one natural resource, three specialists to work on transactions, including real property. There's only one property manager for about 60,000 acres of land currently. The new position allowed the agency to address project backlogs. There's three agriculture development projects in progress, and they've got 90 transactions pending. Some of the pending projects are in initial stages, while others are in the final stages. This will help some of the workload issues with the agency. It's an other funds recommendation of $181,148, one position, one FTE. Page 6 of 16, Package 104. This is Submerged and Submersible Lands Enhancement Fund. This is a package that was, this package was related to House Bill 2463 from 2015, and it just provided them with some clear guidance about the ability to seize abandoned or derelict structures and vessels on submerged and submersible lands. If the notice and opportunity for a hearing had been provided to the owner, it created a submerged lands enhancement account, allowing up to 20% of the revenue from state-owned submerged and submersible lands to be put into that account. And what this package does, you'll see that there's no dollars on this. What it does is basically transfers expenditure authority from their general appropriation for the Common School Fund programs and makes it specifically establishes that specific amount in the specific fund that was set up for this project. So you have a negative in one, a positive in the other, it nets to zero. Okay. The last package, next to last package, the penultimate package for this SCR, is Package 105, and this is for sage-grouse monitoring, and this adds other funds expenditure limitation for one seasonal natural resource specialist, one position, is a half FTE position. And this, the position will monitor compliance with the candidate conservation agreement with assurances for the greater sage-grouse, and the position will help install conservation measures such as fence markers and water tank escape ramps. Total other funds recommended is $72,225, one position, 0.5 FTE.
So is are escape ramps in the tank so the birds can get back out if they
sure,
take
right.
a bath?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
These are not the brightest birds.
No, they. That's why they're endangered.
That's right. One of the reasons, for sure.
Go up and knock them in the head.
Package 106, Shared Services Implementation. This is a revenue transfer program package only. This transfers funding about $67,000 to Water Resources Department. There's no expenditure impact from this. This is just as a cost-saving measure for the agency to consolidate payroll functions in one agency so they're not being duplicated in two agencies. Package 107 is for vehicle replacement. This package will allow DSL to replace five agency-owned vehicles with leased vehicles from DAS Motor Pool. So $54,576 of the package is the ongoing funding for those lease costs. The remaining $26,000 is one-time funding for the outright purchase of a standard ATV and a side-by-side ATV in addition to the leased vehicles. Both of these vehicles are so that they can get remote areas of the state or on state lands to do service. Package 802, this is for federal grant expenditure limitation. This is an adjustment that's being made. This is
funding source on that?
Please, Representative Esquivel.
Did I miss your funding source on that?
Chair Witt, Representative Esquivel, that was that was other funds as well, and these are all from the Common School Fund.
Thank you.
That funding source being for, I'm sorry, I missed that myself. For the vehicle replacement?
For the vehicle.
Okay, thank you.
And the lease.
Package 802 is federal grant expenditure limitation. What happens, the agency typically phases out all or nearly all of their federal grant expenditure limitation each biennium, and then this package just reestablishes expenditure limitation so that the agency can expend federal funds. So this limitation is for federal funds in the amount of $212,323,000. So page 11 of 16, we're moving on to the Oregon Wetlands Revolving Fund Program. This is also the Wetlands Mitigation Fund. There are no packages associated with this program, so this is funded at the current service level. Natural Heritage Program is not being currently used. Page 13 of 16 is the South Slough National Estuary and Reserve. And the first page there of 13 shows you the summary for the program. Package 81 is a package dealing with actions taken at the September 2016 Emergency Board. The Department of State Lands, I'll read you the description because I'm not sure that anyone on this subcommittee was involved except for maybe Senator Girard. The Department of State Lands South Slough National Estuary and Reserve was awarded $329,000 federal funds grant from NOAA in July of 2016 for the purpose of remodeling and construction at Estuary and Coastal Sciences Laboratory on the University of Oregon's Institute of Marine Biology campus down in Charleston. The project includes expansion of the existing laboratory facilities, additional office spaces, reorientation of the garage to expand storage capacity, and to provide for additional parking. The September 2016 Emergency Board approved an increase in the agency's 2015-17 biennium federal funds limitation, but the agency is not anticipating the work to commence on the project until late June or perhaps early July of 2017, so into the next biennium. And the agency has entered into a subaward agreement with the University of Oregon, who will manage the entire project. But the agreement is at the Department of Justice for final legal review, and the grant period ends June 2018. So basically, this is just taking existing federal funds limitation and moving it forward into the next biennium. And it's federal funds limitation of $329,000. Page 15 of 16 is the overview of the capital improvements program.
Representative Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. During the agency presentation on their budget, I thought I recalled them saying that the South Slough federal funds were not going to be received. There was some comment about federal funds for South Slough.
Chair, with Rep. Lewis, I don't recall that conversation. There is quite a bit of federal funds for the South Slough program, and what I can do is I can, when we get done here, I can ask the agency to respond to you directly.
Okay, I may be mistaken, but I thought that was mentioned in the budget presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Back to the capital improvements program. There is a single package, or I believe there's a single package. There's a single package in this program for headquarters building maintenance. This is a $200,000 package that provides capital improvement expenditure limitation to allow for the upgrade of the lighting in the underground parking garage and to replace and repair the structure on the roof that protects the HVAC system from the elements. The agency has a tendency to zero out the majority of their capital improvements packages. This funding actually will continue as ongoing funding to give them a little bit more capacity to expand from $314,000 a biennium to $514,000 a biennium to address their capital improvements and repair and maintenance issues. And that is the entirety of the LFO recommendation.
Well, thank you very much. So, subcommittee members, before we entertain the recommendation itself, do you have any questions or concerns about or comments on what we just received? Senator Girard.
Yes, I have two questions. Well, one question and one comment. The Elliott is not in here, and we're going to get the Elliott back. So my question is, who's going to manage the Elliott?
Chair, when Senator Girard is, which part of that is the comment?
There's a question. No, okay. I got a comment coming
there. Chair, Senator Girard, this budget does include this in the current service level budget for the agency. There is funding that allows the agency to continue dealing with the Elliott Forest in its current, under its current protocol, which is moving towards a sale.
It's a one-year contract, as I recall, correct, to...
I'd have to check on that.
Yeah, to manage that forest.
So inside of that, they have a... Under current law, there's provisions in the budget, in their base budget, to continue to operating it just as they have been doing. Should changes be made, and I know that there's a lot of talk and a lot of things on the table, I don't know, I'm not personally aware of where that's landing exactly, but I'm sure that if any adjustments need to be made in the budget, it will be made with subsequent legislation.
Well, Senator, you're right.
And then my comment, I'll be a no, because I talked about the delineation and mitigation, that is totally duplicative with the Corps of Army Engineers. The two of them oftentimes go out there together, and they put the same darn red flags, and I happen to have done a development, and they couldn't agree. And I'm telling you, that's extremely frustrating. So it would save $4 million. I know it's other funds, but I'm really sick and tired of us trying to look for things to save money, and that just goes unheeded. So I'm going to be a no.
Thank you for that advance notice, Senator. Appreciate it. I'm actually making a note to myself about your comments, so hold on, folks. I'll be right back. anyone else? Representative Power.
Yeah, on the question of the Elliott, I mean, I wonder if it might make sense to hold on this until next week when they do have their meeting coming up within a couple days, and we might have clarity on what next steps for the Elliott are going to be and not have to go back and redo the budget again.
Can I add something?
Senator Girard.
I'm actually involved a little bit in those discussions. Mm-hmm. I don't think, I think leadership, so when I say leadership, I mean the governor, the speaker, and the president and Senate. I think they're going to be all on the same page. That will not be completed until it goes through capital construction, which is one of the last budgets we passed. However, if those three are in concurrence, then, I mean, it's kind of a done deal sort of thing. So,
Representative Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Bear with me a little bit because I'm used to municipal budgets, which at least to me seem to be a lot more transparent. I'm trying to understand... On the total, I guess it would be page 1 of 16, on the total full-time equivalent positions, how do we know from looking at this budget how many positions are currently vacant and how long they've been vacant?
Sure, wait, Representative Lewis, from looking at this document, you would not know that. The LFO did ask for a report on vacant positions from all of the agencies, and the state lands had no vacancies.
I didn't have a lot.
State lands had no vacancies at the time we were asked for the report, and that was a little less than 30 days ago.
Anyone else? Senator Taylor.
Thank you, Chair Witt. So maybe we can have the agency director or maybe you, Matt. I wanted to just clarify that I understand that if I understand that the Elliott would go through capital construction. I understand that. But I just want to understand what the impact is on this budget. Would that free money up? Would that take money away? Like, what would the impact be? So,
Chair Witt, Senator Taylor, there would be I have no way to really answer that completely because I don't know what is being contemplated with the Elliott. I will say that there's a number of adjustments that get made to agency budgets as we go along. And in particular, just to be clear, I don't know if I talked about it. One of the things that we do in the LFO recommendation, when a budget comes to us from the governor's office, there's two categories, typically two packages, and in this budget it was package 91 and 92 and 93, I can't remember, in the 90s. And one of them was dealing with statewide government service charges, DAS surcharges, mm-hmm. and the other one was dealing with AG fees. And those were typically reductions in agency budgets to to have the budgets aligned with what the, at the time the governor's office thought were going to be those charges. But since that happened so early in the budget process, we actually stripped those packages out. And then once we know what those actual charges are going to be, we adjust that in all agencies' budget in a single omnibus budget bill at the end of the session. And so just like that, there's agency budgets are going to be adjusted for any policy bills that come through with a budgetary impact on the agency. They're going to be done for statewide issues like that and any other large impacts like the one you're talking about with the Elliott.
Mm-hmm. Follow-up?
Please.
Thank you, Chair Wood. I thank you for, I think it's good to state all that, and I understand that. Because we're having this budget situation and the way that the process is set up, but we're going to have a shortfall. We have a shortfall, and so I'm just concerned about adjustments being made and what those are and what the impacts are after we vote for the agency budget. So that's the part that I'm just wanting to have a conversation about. So I don't know how the other committee members feel. So.
Chair Witt, if I
please.
If you don't mind. Senator Taylor, one thing to remember about the Department of State Lands is their primary funding is from the Common School Fund. Mm-hmm. And the shortfall that you're describing that we've seen so much in the paper is in the general fund.
Oh, yeah.
So,
however, the Elliott is.
For this specific budget, if something were to be done with the Elliott that was related to the general fund, it would have no impact on this common school fund portion of the agency's budget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you understand that. Thank you. It's more as we go forward with the funding for all the natural resource agencies. Of course, each agency is unique. Each has a different makeup. And so just bringing that up. So
thank you very much. Anything else from any of the subcommittee members? With that, I am going to... the motion is to approve LFO's recommendation. And does that motion also need to state that we will be sending it on to the full?
Chair Witt, no. There's three different motions that we're looking for. The first one is to move the LFO recommendation to the Senate Bill 5537. The second one is for the key performance measures after we go through those. And then the very last motion will be to move the adoption of the amendment, and then there's a final subcommittee action would be to move the bill as amended to the full committee.
All right, so fine.
44 stages.
Four.
I would just like to add a little piece because I've sat on a few of these. Even if we were to deny the bill, we don't kill it. The co-chairs control this bill, just so that you know. But that would send a powerful message. But I'm just saying that this is a subcommittee, so we don't have that authority. The control of the bill actually still lies with the co-chairs.
Okay. I think Representative Esquivel was next. No? Yes, no? Co-Chair Frederick.
Well, I'll start off the process. Chair Witt, I move the LFO recommendation to Senate Bill 5537.
Thank you very much. Co-Chair Frederick moves Senate Bill 5537 be adopted as...
No, just move the recommendation.
Move the recommendation. Has moved the LFO recommendation to Senate Bill 5537. Thank you very much. Is there any questions on the motion at this point? Representative Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to confirm there are no general fund dollars in this.
There are none, correct. Any other questions or comments on this motion?
I just want to make sure I understand it. We're moving it to the full, or is this just to accept the ops? I'm missing something.
This is accepting the recommendation right now.
Yes.
I'm not moving it to the full yet.
That's the fourth stage.
This is the first stage.
First of four. All right, everyone comfortable at this point? All right, is there any objection? Seeing none, hearing none, a motion is adopted. Thank you, subcommittee members. Stage two.
Stage two. Chair?
Let's go through the key performance measures.
Okay. Mrs. Stainer, please.
Thank you, Chair Witt, members of the subcommittee. The next thing we'd like you to take a look at is the legislatively approved key performance measures for 2017-2019 for the agency. You'll find these. There's a separate document on OLIS. My computer has turned off since we've had all this discussion. I'm sorry. But there's a second document.
Did you get my computer?
And it looks like this, so you can all see it. And what this does is it shows all of the legislatively proposed KPMs and their metrics and then their targets along with their last reported result. As you remember, the agency went through all of these KPMs during their presentation. I'll just go through these with you and talk about things that have changes. There were no changes to KPM-1, either in the target or it's the KPM itself. KPM-2, we did make a little bit of an adjustment to clarify the KPM. It read a little strangely, and so we just cleaned up the narrative a little bit. And then we also adjusted the targets upward to reflect what was a base achievement level based on historic results. KPM-3, which is the increase in revenues from land management activities, the narrative had originally stated that it was a percentage, and the agency was reporting it in dollars, even though the narrative said percentage. So we've fixed the narrative to make sure that the narrative said dollars as well. The targets were increased to reflect anticipated continual increase in revenue from land management activities. KPMs 4, 5, and 6 were 4, 5, 6, and 7. There were no changes to the KPM or target. KPM 8, which is the annual resolution of removal fill violations related to unauthorized activities. The target is increased from 75% from 50% to reflect the agency's historical achievements. They've been nailing this their targets just fine, so we increased the target and hopefully can encourage the agency to continue the good work. KPM-9, there's no change to the KPM or target. KPM-10, agency response time for wetland land use notices. The target is reduced by 2 days, and that's increasing their performance to reflect the agency's historic achievements. KPM-12 was promoted, is presented to be deleted. And the reason it is because the KPM was an increase in unclaimed property holder reporting, and it really didn't say anything about what the agency was doing. It basically just was reporting about what outside entities were reporting to them. So in KPM, there's a new KPM 12 that's suggested that is the unclaimed property disbursements, and that's the percentage of total unclaimed property returned to the owners. And so we're starting out with a target of 50%, and then we'll just monitor it along for the first few biennium. KPM 13 is their customer service targets. There's no change to the KPM or target. There is no KPM 14. KPM 15 is the South SLU SGN Research Reserve operational cost. This is the percentage of their operations funded from sources other than the Common School Fund. And that target was increased from 10% to 25% to reflect that the agency's been successful at receiving funding outside of the Common School Fund for those programs. And we hope to continue to do that. KPM 16 is another one for the South SLU National Estuarine Reserve. And it's the percentage of their education programs that use a structured assessment process survey. And that's a particular type of survey to provide information and decision support services responsive to their audience needs. And we adjusted that target up to 95%. And we see that as the bottom minimum kind of achievement for that product because it does help them target their educational programs to their audience. KPM 17 best practices. This is the best practices met by the land board, and that target was adjusted to 95% as well.
Thank you. Any questions on part two? I'm not seeing any. With that,
Chair Witt,
Co-Chair Frederick.
Make sure that I say it correctly here, just a second. I move the LFO recommendation on key performance measures.
Thank you very much. Co-Chair Frederick moves the LFO recommendation on key performance measures. Any discussion on his motion? Seeing none, is there any objection to his motion? Seeing none, hearing none, so adopted. Thank you, committee members. On to part three, Mr. Stainer.
This one's pretty fast. This is for the Dash 1 amendment, which is the recommended amendment from LFO, and it reflects, it makes the changes in the agency's budget bill to reflect the LFO recommendation. So I'm just going to read them to you overall. It's LFO recommends a budget of $36,775,402 other funds, $2,264,641 federal funds, 110 positions comprising 108.33 FTE, and it's all reflected in the Dash 1 amendment.
Thank you very much. So, committee members, everyone all right? Appears that way.
Chair Witt.
Co-Chair Frederick.
I move the adoption of the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 5537.
Thank you very much. Co-Chair Frederick moves adoption of the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 5537. Discussion on his motion? Not seeing any. Is there any objection to his motion? Again, not seeing or hearing any. Motion is adopted.
No, just the full thing now, right?
The whole enchilada.
This is the whole enchilada, okay.
Hold on just
sure.
a minute.
Yes.
Like to Tim. All right, we're going to stand at ease. Thank you. And with that, I'm going to recognize Co-Chair Frederick.
Chair Witt, I move Senate Bill 5537 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you very much. Co-Chair Frederick moves Senate Bill 5537 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on his motion? I'm seeing none. Call the roll, please.
Senator Girard?
No.
Senator Taylor?
Aye.
Senator Frederick?
Yes.
Representative Esquivel?
No.
Representative Helm?
Aye.
Representative Power?
Aye.
Representative Lewis?
No.
Representative Witt?
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, motion passes. Thank you very much. And I guess, Co-Chair Frederick, would you be the carrier?
Okay.
Perfect. And, if we just wait just a moment here to catch up on the paperwork.
So I've got, Senator, are you carrying to the full end of the floor?
Yes. Because there are only two of us who are.
It's one and two.
And to the House floor.
I don't have any heart.
They would typically decide
ways
that the full, wouldn't they, or not? No? Yeah.
They would assign that a ways and means, I think, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Mm. They may assign it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. With that, I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 5537. Subcommittee members, thank you very much. Yeah.
Time for that?
Yeah. Depends on how fast they are.
Well, Teresa's a lot better than you.
I know if I wanted my budget approved, I'd be lightning quick.
Where you going?
Subcommittee members, next on our agenda, House Bill 5022. I'm going to open a work session on the Marine Board's budget. With that, LFO.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is House Bill 5022. It's the Oregon State Marine Board's budget bill. And the LFO recommendation for the Marine Board is $27,259,745 other funds, $6,632,414 federal funds, for a total budget of $33,892,159 with 39 positions and 39 FTE. This represents a 0.3% decrease from the 15-17 legislative budget and a 0.4% increase from the current service level. And with the budget, the board has about 4.5 months of operating costs in the ending budget and the ending balance. So the bottom line with the budget, it does include one package at this point, package 102, which is the guide and outfitter program improvements, which increases other funds by $125,323 in one position. And again, that was a position that had been started, as you recall in their presentation. It's the continuation of that. The real difference in this budget is that they had packages in this budget that reflected what would happen if House Bill 2320 and House Bill 2321 were enacted. At this point, House Bill 2320 appears to have died on the House side. Whether or not, often some things happen later, but at this point. And the House Bill 2321 has been amended and is currently in, passed the House and is in the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Agency. At this point, the budget doesn't reflect including anything for those bills, depending on what happens there. But at the end of session, they would either have funds included in the bill or in the omnibus end of session bill to reflect that if those measures do pass in some form. So again, that's the real change in this budget. We can walk through more detail if you'd like, but that is the only changes from the presentation you heard.
All right.
The only other thing I might mention, if you looked and said, boy, federal funds look like they went down, that really reflects in general the removal of empty limitation at this point. Again, they receive a lot of federal grants, and the agency has trued that up to try to have a closer fit on how much is actually reflected there versus what they really think they'll get.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Esquivel, please.
Well, I'm looking at this, there are no general funds at all in this budget.
Correct. Mr. Chair, Representative Esquivel, this agency does not have any general fund.
Anyone else? Does that level of report meet everyone's needs at this point? I'm seeing heads nodding to the affirmative. Thank you, subcommittee members. With that, I'm going to... recognize Co-Chair Frederick.
Chair Witt, I move the LFO recommendation to Senate Bill 5022.
Thank you very much. Co-Chair Frederick moves the LFO recommendations to House Bill 5022. Any discussion on his motion? Seeing none, any objections to adoption of the motion? Seeing, hearing none, the motion is adopted. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, moving on to performance measures. For the most part, what you'll see in the key performance measures, again, indicates what you saw during their presentation. The only one that really, with kind of just minor adjustments to take into account what has been happening in trends, the only one that's more of a major change was one we discussed, which is number 8, the average number of days it takes to process requests for grant reimbursements. And again, for quite some time, it had been sitting at that the target was that they were going to get that done in less than 3 days. 2.4, I believe, was the target. That wasn't really realistic. Now, while they are taking steps to reduce it from the last reported result of 9.25, we did have an adjustment of the target to 8 days for 2018 and a target of 7 for 2019. But that's the really major adjustment to performance measures.
Subcommittee members, are we comfortable at this point? They're all looking very comfortable.
Instead of these.
Co-Chair Frederick.
Co-chair Witt, I move the LFO recommendation on key performance measures.
Thank you very much. Co-chair Frederick moves the LFO recommendations on the key performance measures. Again, opportunity to questions or comments on his motion. Not seeing any. Is there any objection to his motion? Seeing none, hearing none, it stands adopted. Thank you.
Okay. So then the next piece is the Dash 1 amendment. And the Dash 1 amendment is just to make those dollar changes in the law. And so LFO recommends a budget, again, of $27,259,745 other funds, $6,632,414 federal funds, for a total funds budget of $33,892,159 and 39 positions, 39 FTE, which is reflected in the Dash 1 amendment.
Thank you very much. Everyone ready for the...
Yes.
All right. Co-chair Frederick?
Co-chair Witt, I move the adoption of the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 5022.
House Bill 5022?
Nope.
Thank you very much. Co-chair Frederick moves the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 5022-5022. Are there any questions or at this point on his motion? Are there any objections to his motion? The motion is adopted. Thank you. And with that, Co-Chair Frederick.
Co-Chair Witt, I move the adoption of House Bill 5022 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Co-Chair Frederick moves House Bill 5022 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on his motion? Seeing none, hearing none, would the clerk please call the roll?
Senator Girard?
Yes.
Senator Taylor?
Aye.
Senator Frederick?
Yes.
Representative Esquivel?
Aye.
Representative Helm?
Aye.
Representative Power?
Aye.
Representative Lewis?
Aye.
Representative Witt.
Aye. Having received the required majority.
I'll carry it to four. You need to have, I don't know who to do.
The bill passes. And Senator Girard, you'll
carry it to full in the Senate. You need to have a carrier on the House side.
Okay.
Which you can carry on the House side.
Actually.
Yeah, you can because it's after full.
Because it's going
to
come
to the floor.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. That sounds fair.
You'll be the carrier? Okay.
Good thinking.
It's been here before.
Yeah. And we've got all our paperwork accomplished. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 5022. Subcommittee members, thank you very much. And with that, unless there's anything else from any of the members?
I would like to say one thing. It's amazing to me how many of these budgets are weighing in, and it'd be interesting to get them all together to see how much we're expending and stuff like that on the sage grouse, because it seems like every department.
There's quite a bit.
Yeah, they're all, who's in charge?
Well, part of this, but I've got to say that the reason that there's quite a bit is that almost every agency is involved in this. And the reason that the sage grouse thing managed to do so well is because almost every agency is involved in this. You don't have the silos.
Right.
You have people having to work together, and in fact, the parts of the bills are for coordination.
Now, who's heading that up? I guess.
Well, it's a combined effort. It's not just the agriculture folks, and it's not the ODF&W, and it's not just state lands or water. I mean, it's everyone's there at the table.
Yeah, but I mean, I was just curious on who would be in charge of the whole operation, because you can have 10 people,
right?
But it doesn't necessarily mean you get it done because you have 10 different.
Well, but part of the
hopefully
reason,
they're working together.
They are working together. Everyone's had to work together.
Where does the buck stop?
Well, right here.
Right here.
That's where the buck stops. In my view, if we don't fund, make sure that everyone's involved, then it fails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I was just curious on how much we're expending on that.
I don't have the number on that.
I think we need to spend a lot more on sage grouse than we are.
Well, and I think we've seen, as you pointed out, with your agency budgets, a number of agencies that have drawn significant attention to trying to recover and enhance sage grouse populations here in our state. As everyone goes home tonight, just remember, we will build no stock tanks in the state of Oregon without an escape hatch for the sage grouse.
There you go.
We are adjourned.
Have you ever been around this thing?
There you go.
We are adjourned.